This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to Pressing Matters, the show where we go behind the headlines and explore issues driving the press. I'm Shazana Mukhtar. In 2018, Facebook admitted that it was complicit in allowing the platform to be used to incite offline violence against Myanmar's Rohingya community and pledged to do better to address hate speech. How effective has Facebook been in fulfilling that pledge, especially in the Asia Pacific? That's the focus of a recently published academic study by researchers in Australia. Joining me on the show today to discuss their findings is the lead author of the report, Dr. Aim Sinpeng, senior lecturer at the University of Sydney. Aim, good morning. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
I do know you're working from home at the moment, so hello as well to your baby daughter, Gabby, who we may hear in the background during the call at times. Let's start, though, with an overview of the report. This study was commissioned by Facebook themselves as part of their research awards looking at issues related to content policy on social media platforms. So what did you and your team set out to research, and what were the parameters of your study?
We wanted to find out why hate speech in particular is so difficult to moderate. So our goal was to try to figure out whether or not hate speech against a particular vulnerable communities across the Asia Pacific is being understood, and how, and whether or not minority groups in these countries that are likely to be subject to hate speech on social media platforms like Facebook experience the kind of hate speech we expect them to. Mm-hmm. So we decided to focus on LGBTQI groups because A, they fit the categories of protected minorities according to the Facebook policy. And they are one of the most likely minority groups to be experiencing hate speech online. So we grouped that across five cases: Australia, India, the Philippines, Indonesia, and Myanmar. So that's the motivation behind our project.
The case studies that were in the report were fascinating, and we'll get into them in a little bit. One of the areas that I would think is difficult about policing hate speech is the fact that there doesn't really seem to be a single agreed upon definition of what constitutes hate speech. So let's take a look at it from Facebook's perspective first. How does Facebook define hate speech for its purposes of content moderation?
So for Facebook, it's basically hateful speech that's targeted against protected minority groups. And for them, they list a long list of specific groups that are protected under this category. And most of them are related to being religious minority, racial minority, people of LGBTQ communities, and certain minority groups like immigrant groups for Facebook is also considered protected groups. Mm-hmm. So if you actually look at the content policy of Facebook, which is basically the very policy that the platform is governed by, the definition of hate speech is actually quite liberal in comparison to how a number of Asian countries would understand protected minority groups are under hate speech. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the most surprising findings, was that, in fact, in a number of Asia Pacific countries, particularly in Southeast Asia, the term minority groups only extend often to just, you know, religious or ethnic minorities, but don't extend much beyond that, or the definition is quite vague. And in fact, we do find that in a number of countries, there isn't really a term hate speech in the vernacular language. Mm-hmm. It's sort of a new term that's been basically borrowed from, you know, social media and other countries like Western countries. Mm-hmm. So that's what we find, is that there isn't an agreed upon definition of hate speech.
But the fact that countries themselves don't see hate speech in the same way, how, yes, I assume that would complicate content moderation from Facebook's perspective.
And the very first thing we wanted to figure out was, A, is there an actual hate speech legislation in any of the case countries we look at? And we find that in most cases, there isn't. And B, do community organizers on Facebook themselves really actually understand what hate speech is in two ways? One is, what is hate speech for them? And second, do they even know whether or not Facebook defines hate speech and how it defines it. And we actually find that four of the five cases that we look at, so we look at three LGBTQ groups in each country, the most popular groups on Facebook, and we find that the vast majority of the cases, the admins of the group themselves don't even know how Facebook defines hate speech. Mm. They didn't know.
Okay, so there is that obvious gap there in terms of what is on paper and what is translated to the user community experience or what moderators can do.
We make an argument that group admins or page admins, so often you either open a page, right, public page, or you open a group, and it could be a secret group or a public group, right, on Facebook. We argue that these admins are actually the gatekeepers of hate speech. Mm. Meaning they're the frontline people, right? They are the one seeing hate speech related content, and they're having to decide whether or not they're going to report to Facebook. The first recommendation we have, you as an admin really need to understand the content policy of the platform itself, right? And I think Facebook could do a lot more in ensuring that at minimum, admins of groups have access to even an online version in the vernacular language of the content policy. Mm-hmm. I know they do, but I think they don't push it enough. Mm-hmm. It's just sort of one of those things like, you know, how when you sign up to a new app and they ask you to read it and agree on the terms and condition and no one really reads it and just click yes.
Right.
I think a lot of people feel that way about content policy of Facebook. They just sort of, they're not even aware that it exists.
Right.
And if they are, then bother reading. And I think that's the very first step is let's get on the same page about what the actual policy is. Mm-hmm. And they have a better understanding. And then there should be, you know, the second recommendation we make is resources for training. The vast majority of page admins, so we did interview page admins of the groups that we studied. The vast majority of them have never received any kind of training about how to use Facebook, what the policy is, what happens when you encounter hate speech, what are your recourses? Nothing. A few of them have received training from a third-party organization, so via an NGO or something, not through Facebook directly. Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of outreach is necessary just mm-hmm. to begin to tackle this situation. And that's something that Facebook can do.
Okay, so it's really empowering at the basic community level, empowering the moderators or the users on what can be done, on what actually is available to them, because a lot of the time they don't know that these resources or avenues are there. I'm speaking to Dr. Ames Sinpeng from the University of Sydney, lead author of a recent study on the regulation of hate speech on Facebook in the Asia Pacific. We'll get more insights from the report after these messages. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. Hello, if you've just tuned in, this is Pressing Matters on the Morning Run. I'm Shazana, and with me on the show today is Dr. Ames Sinpeng, senior lecturer at the University of Sydney. She's the lead author of a recent study looking at how Facebook regulates hate speech in the Asia Pacific. Aim, as you mentioned, the study covers five different countries, all of which have different contexts, both in terms of acceptance of LGBTQ, as well as how freedom of expression is treated. What were some of the common patterns that you observed, and which of the findings stood out to you?
The common findings that we find across all five cases is number one, unfamiliarity with Facebook content policy. Number two, never having received training about the content policy or how to manage hate speech by Facebook directly. Third, feeling disempowered from engaging with Facebook when encountering hate speech content and trying to report to them. So those are the three common findings. Which country has experienced the highest level of hate speech found against LGBTQ communities online? That would be the Philippines. And that is by a long shot. We thought maybe Myanmar, given what has happened with the Rohingya. And we found that, in fact, hate speech against a particular group is quite localized and context-based. Mm-hmm. If a country, for example, like Myanmar, that people you know, generally think, you know, everyone there who is a minority of any kind is vulnerable to hate speech. Our study shows that that's incorrect. That in fact, the LGBT groups in Myanmar have been able to thrive really well, grown in membership, be able to actually engage more with offline activities, and having received very little hate speech. And this is based on interviews with admins as well. And for them, what has happened to a Muslim minority has not affected them at all. And so we argue that perhaps one of the triggers for, you know, what makes a particular country more susceptible to getting hate speech against a particular group, it's likely the degree of politicization of that issue. Mm-hmm. So the Philippines has a very high level of, has seen a very high level of attacks, hate speech attacks against LGBT groups, because they have been trying to pass a legislation for quite some time to improve the rights of LGBTQ communities, mm-hmm. members. And as a result, that legislation has been very heavily politicized in the country and therefore elicited a lot of response on, you know, both sides or more. And that makes the Philippines actually much more vulnerable to observing that kind of hate speech, because the subject group, you know, the LGBT communities are being politicized, mm-hmm. as a result of this process. We thought maybe Indonesia as well, because we thought maybe the certain particular religion might, we might observe more attacks against LGBTQ members than others, but we didn't find that to be completely consistent. Yes, we do observe some, you know, kind of religious-based hate speech against LGBT communities, both in the Philippines, in Indonesia, and India, but not all across the board. And it's nowhere near the level of what the Philippines has experienced, given what's going on in that country in terms of, you know, pro-LGBT rights legislation. So what we argue is that if you know a particular country is going through politicization of certain issues, we should expect to see more hate speech against that group. And because, you know, politicization of issues like these don't go away overnight, is likely to drag on and on, then that means that we could target particular countries where we know particular minorities at a particular time, it could be a year, two or three, are likely to see more hate speech. So that's more outreach effort from Facebook. There's more sort of eyes, right, looking at this issue more than compared to other countries.
That is such an interesting point. I mean, the fact that monitoring the politicization of issues regarding protected communities, that's something that Facebook could be doing if it wants to better implement its content moderation. And one of the things that I did take away from your report was just the sheer number of parties involved in content moderation within Facebook itself. It seemed that they have so many different groups that are part of this process. Should Facebook be giving more resources to kind of making sure that there's more monitoring of local context, if this makes any sense? I guess what kind of weak links do you see in that chain of moderation?
So two things. One, right now, I think it's not a public figure, so we don't know exactly, but I would say there's 70% automation, 30% human right now. That's because of COVID. I think if they can get it back to be a bit more balanced, so there's more human moderators than algorithms. And I'm not saying algorithms are not important. They're absolutely important. But it's gone a bit too heavily on automation now. So that's something that they can do. And I know they were trying to do that before the pandemic. Secondly, more regionalization of tackling a problem, meaning devolving more power to regional headquarters that have the country expertise to deal with these issues. And I know the Asia Pacific headquarters in Singapore has been hiring a lot more staff that come from different countries, speak different dialects. Because one of the things that many know, but it's again emphasized in our report, is that the algorithms they use target only national languages. Mm-hmm. And at this point, as far as we know, they're only filtering 55 languages on hate speech content. How many languages are there in Asia alone? Over 2,000. And most countries in the Asia Pacific, people do what they call code switching. So they speak multiple languages at once. So Malaysia, right? So you'll be switching, you know, between Malay and English. Sometimes you also speak another dialect, and that makes it really hard for algorithms to work because they haven't gone to the level where they can really properly filter multi-language and code switching like that. But the thing is, we forget that people use social media the way they talk. You code switch when you talk, you code switch when you write on social media. And so when you have more eyes, more local expertise that understand the local context and the local terrain better, you are more likely to be able to be on the lookout for more of these types of issues that emerge, like the Philippines. You know, they've got this SOGI bill for like a few years now. We know this targeting the LGBT communities. We should expect more hate speech, especially coming from the South. Let's see, we can get more human moderators who speak some of the Southern dialects, who can do a better filter of this content. That's something that can be done.
Final question, Aim. How has Facebook responded to your report? Have you had any feedback from them or any reaction on the recommendations that you've put forth?
So usually when they give out grants, and Facebook is quite good on this, they just, is no strings attached. They just want researchers to be able to research them more, and they don't, you know, demand anything. So that's good. But throughout the process, we do present to them our findings. They take it down. They take their notes and send them to the right sort of department. But also, they reach out to us when they want to make any kind of changes to content policy. They do reach out to academics and researchers like us to ask, hey, look, you know, we're thinking of adding. So the latest addition was adding the immigrant group, and that's been heavily lobbied by NGOs, civil society in America in particular. So you see traces of, you know, lobbying from the grassroots coming through, okay, right? In the many versions of their content policy. So just for a quick example, when we got the funding in 2019, and by the time we finished our work, you know, in the end of 2020, they've already updated their hate speech definition to be a more closer to what we expect them to be. So they have actually gotten better as well, just in a period of a year. So they're very fully aware that hate speech is an area they're quite weak at, and they're trying to find solutions. And, you know, people always give Facebook a hard time. I notice a lot of really, hardworking, good people that, you know, they want to make this better. But everything has to be scaled globally, you know, just the kind of volume that they get, right? I mean, we're always banging on about, hey, you don't have staff in Myanmar. How are you going to this and that? And they said, we can't have staff in Myanmar. We can't have an office there because of security reason, blah, blah, blah. Same thing with Vietnam, you know. You need more people speaking, you know, dialect number 14 in China, whatever it is, right? And I think this is healthy, you know, us banging on about more, bringing issue to light. You know, why is it that there's only 55 languages on your hate speech algorithm right now? That seems ridiculous. Let's do better. Just kind of back and forth about this. That's really healthy.
Okay. In Facebook's case, you know, no news is not good news. The more you hear from them, the more engagement there is. That's a good thing. That's progress.
Yeah, that is. And, you know, they're also demanding regulations, right? And as we all know, you know, I'm from Southeast Asia as well. Like, we, when you want our, you know, governments in particular parts of the world that are known to not be entirely democratic, have a very different definition of what they understood for freedom of speech to be. You worry too, right? You know, you want these governments to come up with regulation to regulate Facebook. We know Southeast Asia in particular is an innovator when it comes to an anti-fake news type of legislation that, you know, caused alarms, you know, amongst many community groups about, you know, where are we with this freedom of speech and freedom of assembly anymore? So I think Facebook wants more clarity so they know the kind of terrain they're operating in. But, you know, some of the community groups in these societies also don't want, you know, more regulation unless it's consulted widely mm-hmm. in our society. So I think at least three major groups have to be part of this: civil society, keeping an eye on these issues, governments and corporations. At least these three parts have to kind of come together and really talk about this. So more of this back and forth across three or together or in pairs, I think the more of that, the better.
All right. AIM, thank you so much for being generous with your time and insights.
Thank you so much for having me. And I really appreciate you bringing our findings to light as well.
I've been speaking to Dr. AIM Sinpeng, senior lecturer at the University of Sydney and lead author of a research study on how Facebook regulates hate speech in the Asia Pacific. You can find the paper and its full recommendations on the university website. We'll include a link in the show notes of this podcast. This has been Pressing Matters on The Morning Run. Coming up next, we have the 10 a.m. news bulletin, and then it's over to Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.